subject of healing, we have hundreds and hundreds, perhaps thousands, who knows how many, books published throughout all time on healing. The subject of healing, how to heal yourself, how to be healed, how to heal others, how to think about healing, how to manifest a life of wholeness. And all these books, as wonderful as they are, they touch maybe one life. And the life that these books touch, or the lives that these books touch, is the life of the author. The books are for the person who wrote it. And the books are impactful for the person who wrote it, and have very little to do with the general reader. And the reason that healing cannot be read about or written about is that healing is one thing. Healing is to return to your original purity and integrity. And if you're going to return to your original purity and your original integrity, there's no one else who can show you how. They can show you what they have done, but the manner in which they have done it is quite different. Now, just take our friend Eckhart Tolle. He tells us that he was a little jerk. He was a good-for-nothing person. He was a rotten person, in fact. He was so rotten, he wanted to kill it himself. He wanted to commit suicide. He wanted to destroy himself. He had so little regard for himself. You understand? He had so little... Now, we'll stop at this moment. Have any of you ever had that feeling of so little regard for yourself that you wanted to kill yourself? And I don't think any of you did. I think you have thought it would be nice to end this chain of suffering or these problems, but you didn't really want to kill yourself. Well, now, he didn't either. That's why he didn't do it. But he wrote about it. And in writing about it, he wrote about his worst feel, his worst feelings and attitudes. And then what happened? As with all of us, something grabbed a hold of him and said, "Look, boy, wake up." Richard Bach wrote about it after he'd written Jonathan Livingston Seagull. Something grabbed a hold of him and said, "I'm not letting go of you until you write what is on your mind, what I am on your mind." And so he wrote Illusions. But this is how it's often done. This is how it's often done. The inner self shakes us up and says, "Come on now, wake up. Tune in." Mr. Tolle is going around the world teaching his philosophy of the now in a very beautiful way, but he's teaching it for himself. And people are excited about it because they say, "Hey, that's interesting, that's good. I've had thoughts like that. I've had ideas like that too." But he's not teaching to teach others. He's teaching to teach himself. Jesus was out teaching to teach for himself. He said, "It is not I, but the Father within me to do the works." And the Father within him is who he was trying to get to know. Now, Jesus knew about it. Oh, that's great. Jesus was playing the human game. And in playing the human game, he played it right to the hilt. In fact, he had himself killed. I mean, that's pretty tough. Now, why would a master teacher, why would anyone teaching love, wholeness, peace, harmony, goodness, immortality, why would anyone teaching these things allow themselves to die? We can go into all of our great teachers, all of our great leaders, who are fantastic. I don't mean to put anybody down by anything I say here, but why is it that they all died? Why is it that you and I may die? Why is it we haven't awakened to our spiritual reality? And now, for the rest of the story. And now, I'd like to give you the answer. And I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands and tell me how many of you want to hear the answer. But I'm going to tell you. And I doubt that too many of you will hear the answer. I whisper. No. We are so silly to think that just because someone writes a successful book, just because someone writes a successful university, as we have done, just because somebody in the name of Jesus, the Christ, demonstrated what he believed, just because somebody like Paul, who equally did marvelous things, and he didn't even know what he was talking about, but he knew what he was talking about within himself. And Socrates, Plato, Aristotle, the Pope, and all these interesting people, the Dalai Lama, beautiful people, and they're all going to die, and have died. That doesn't bear true to the teaching that life is immortal, that life's eternal. It doesn't bear true to the teachings that we're whole and perfect. Well, here comes the answer. In our lifetime, millions and millions and millions, perhaps billions, of people enter into their spiritual oneness and are never heard from again. They're never known again. Now, but they're dead? No, I said they're never known again. Now, let me back up on a concept here. The concept of spiritual healing. When you have some terrible illnesses and so forth, and your body's a mess and you're a mess and everything's a mess in your world, and like the criminal on the cross, you see the light. You see me? You see the light. You don't know what's going to happen. You can't prepare yourself for this. You can, you know, just aim, but now the criminal on the cross, he certainly didn't prepare himself for this in any way. He didn't study for years and stuff like that, you know? Who knows? Maybe he did. We don't know about it. But anyhow, as far as we know, he didn't. So, when you have a spiritual healing, you do not remember that you were ever ill. You cannot, because it's not part of your new nature. It's not part of your divine nature that you're now expressing. And every single being who is your creation in your world who knew of you in your ill condition does not remember it anymore. Does not remember it. Ingeborg, what did the girl next door to you look like when you were 12 years old? You played with her?
Yes.
You knew her?
Yes.
And what was her name? And how many brothers and sisters did she have? What color hair did she have? What color complexion did she have? Now, Ingeborg, with her steel trap mind, she might readily remember. But the rest of us, we wouldn't remember. We wouldn't remember because that was just the way it was, and then it changed. Do you remember, as we spoke before, when you didn't know how to do what you now know how to do? If you're a musician and you're now a good musician, do you remember when you weren't a good musician? You can't. Because if you remember when you weren't a good musician, you'll be not a good musician then. So, the spiritual healing. Nobody remembers that you were ever ill. Nobody remembers that you ever couldn't do any of the things you couldn't do before, that you'd told yourself you couldn't do. Nobody knows. And so you are walking in the world as a newborn, so to speak, as a born again or a risen self of consciousness. It's fabulous. And yet not so fabulous that it could not be accepted as a human being. You see? Even Jesus, when he came back risen, and people said, hello, what can I do to help you? He was not some odd-looking character. He was a spiritually illumined being, in a spiritually illumined body, which was very much like the human body, except it had only perfection in it. It had no limitation. The cells would never decay, and the body never needed food, and so forth and so on. Yeah. It had none of the requirements of the body, just the symbol of the body, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, this happens time and time and time and time again in our life, that you are talking to people who have already ascended. And you look at them, and this is a big point. You look at them and you don't expect them to have a cold. You don't expect them to be hurt. We have read science fiction about some of these things where the man was standing in the road and a big semi-trailer truck came bearing down him and drove right through him. And when the semi-trailer truck was gone, he was still standing there, untouched. And the guy in the semi-trailer truck said, what did I do? What did I do? You know? And there was nothing they did, because that was a spiritually illumined being who was untouched by anything. Now, you say, that doesn't happen very often. That's what you know. Are you tuned in to your spiritual reality to know what is happening? Tell me, Sylvia. If some kid comes up to you and says, 3 times 4 is 8, and gives you a whole long mathematical equation, and then says, and the answer is 5, and can you say, just excuse me, can you say knowledgeably that that answer is correct or not correct? Is that kid putting you on, or is it true? You would have to be on his level of consciousness to say it's true. If you were on any other level of consciousness, you could not say it's true, because you would not know it. But on his level of consciousness, you'd know it. But the kids play these games every once in a while, because they're right on that level, and we knock them down. They begin to tell us all sorts of wonderful things that they see in the invisible world that we are not looking at. And we put them down right away. But you see, unless you really are there, you cannot tell that person that answer is correct. You have to run it through the computer. And you have to say, well, I haven't time for this. But you have to run it through the computer. But if, when and as you know yourself to be on that level of consciousness, then you will know that his answer is correct. And you will even be seeing what he is doing in his mind while he's doing it. You'll see it as a beautiful conclusion. Now, we can wait throughout many life expressions. We might call incarnations, but we are not really incarnating. You have never died. You see, to incarnate, you have to die. And so we are through many life dimensions, which we are living in when?
Yeah,
in the now. There is only now. And so you cannot incarnate because you haven't been something to go somewhere. But again, that's just a terminology. The concept that people are using there is still pretty valid. And the point is that are you perhaps living on this advanced level of awareness and deciding to play the game of a human, because you want to play the role of a teacher, you want to play the role of a sharer, you want to play the role of whatever, and then you know these things, and you are these things, and you pretend that you're ill, you pretend that you have things. Now, Sophia Karagula, who's written Breakthrough to Creativity, is a very interesting book. Interesting insofar it's similar to what many other people who have done this in the same light. She interviewed a great many doctors, and she said to the doctors, I would like to have some of my people sit in your waiting room and look at your patients, and then write down their description, and then afterwards, at the end of the day, we go over these descriptions and see what the diagnosis of my psychics are and the diagnosis that you have. And some doctors were far more sensitive than they realized, and they listened right to the patient's heart without looking at their chart and looking at their vibrations of their EKG and what have you. And so they had the same thing that the psychics had had. Where did they get that information? Does it really matter? Is that important? No, but it's part of a game. It's part of a game that they knew all these things, and they were able to be aware of it and act upon it. And the doctor was aware of it, and they said many doctors, far, far more doctors than we realize, have the ability to be sensitive and know what's going on in the patient. Now, I will give you another word for the word sensitive. The doctors are one as all, and they created the patient coming to them, so therefore they knew what they created in the patient. And it's the doctor's fault that the patient is experiencing those experiences. Mm-hmm. Now they say, well, oh, that's not too cool. But no, it's true. Because we create everything in our world. Nothing happens by chance. Now, would doctors be wise to create patients coming into their office who are whole and perfect? Not very well. They'd have to get in a different business. And that's true. Mm-hmm. That's true. They have to get in a different business. But what is it for you now? Now you know Buddha, Jesus, Lao Tse, Confucius, Marcus Aurelius, whoever you want to name, philosophers, religious leaders, all. They cannot lead you to your inner self. They cannot lead you to the truth about yourself. They cannot show you the way. They can show you their way, and they can show you what will put you in the condition to be ready to receive it. But it's up to you to listen and to the answers for the questions you asked. How can I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body? Will I live immortally? How do I know who and what I am? Where am I going? What is my life all about? What is my choice for myself? You see, you ask these questions, and then the answers are there. But the answers are only there when you ask the intelligent question of reality, not as a human, but as a divine. It's a lot of fun, but it's very demanding. It's very demanding because it doesn't seem very satisfying. It doesn't seem satisfying to come up with answers for an irrelevant, an absolute world, which we have only glimpsed a little bit of. But Mr. Heinz here, as I spoke to him earlier today, I said, what are you doing here at the ranch? What are you experiencing? And his answer was, bliss. What are you experiencing? Who are you? He said, I'm bliss. Now, what is bliss? Bliss is many things to many people, but bliss basically is in perfect harmony with your divine self. Is that what you meant?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Kind of figured that was. But you see, in perfect harmony with your divine self. Bliss does not mean in perfect harmony with your physical self, with your human self. Because once you're in harmony with your divine self, your human physical self will be the ideal. Is that okay? Mm-hmm. Your physical self will be its ideal once you're in harmony with your divine self. Because the physical self it already exists as a divine idea. But the divine idea does not have shape or form. It's you that give it shape and form. And when you give it shape and form without proper attitude toward what its purpose is going to be, then you run into a little bit of trouble. So, healing, sort of our thought right now. How do we experience healing to return to our original purity and integrity? I will give any of you 1 second to come up with the word. How do we deal with our original purity and integrity? What do we do? Anybody?
Claim it.
Exactly. We have nothing else on our mind but our original purity and integrity, and we claim it. We have nothing else on our mind except our original purity, and that's not easy. We've not been practicing that. Of course, once we practice it, it's not easy to play the violin. But once you practice, you gain the skill. And if you mentally can see yourself playing the violin like our friend Mozart, then you would play it right away. Even his father's very valuable violin. So think on these things. It works very easily. Claim it, make it yours, and enjoy it. That is what healing is all about. And it is in the now. I love you. I love you. I love you. Have a good day.